Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text Number 14. Sarvendriyagana drashte sarvapratyaya hetave asata chaya yoktaya sat abhasaya te namaha. Sarva indriya guna drashte. Unto the seer of all objectives pursued by the senses. Sarva pratyaya hetave. Who is the solution of all doubts. And without whose help one cannot solve all doubts and inabilities. Asata, with the manifestation of unreality or illusion. Chaya, because of the resemblance. Uktaya, called. Sat, a reality. Abhasaya, unto the reflection. Te, unto you, namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problems of doubts. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real, because it gives a glimpse of your existence. Purport. To paraphrase this verse, the objectives of sensual activities are actually observed by you. Without your direction, the living entity cannot take even a step forward. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasya chaham ridhi sanivishto matak smritir gyanam apavanam cha. You are situated in everyone's heart, and only from you come remembrance and forgetfulness. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vivarta durga. The living entity under the clutches of Maya wants to enjoy this material world, but unless you give him directions and remind him, he cannot make progress in pursuing his shadowy objectives in life. The conditioned soul wrongly progresses towards the wrong objective, life after life. And he is reminded of that objective by you. In one life, the conditioned soul desires to progress towards a certain objective, but after his body changes, he forgets everything. Nonetheless, my Lord, because he wanted to enjoy something of this world, you remind him of this in his next birth. Manak smritir gyanam aponam cha. Because the conditioned soul wants to forget you, by your grace you give him opportunities, life after life, by which he can almost perpetually forget you. Therefore, you are eternally the director of the conditioned souls. It is because you are the original cause of everything that everything appears real. The ultimate reality is your Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The word Sarva Pratyaya Hetave is explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which says that a result gives one a glimpse of its cause. For example, since an earthen pot is a result of the actions of a potter, by seeing the earthen pot, one can guess at the existence of the potter. Similarly, the material world resembles the spiritual world, and any intelligent person can guess how it is acting. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. The activities of the material world suggest that behind them is the superintendence of the Lord. Text again. Sarvendriya guna drashte sarva pratyaya hetave asata chaya yoktaya sarabhasaya te namaha. My Lord, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problems of doubts. Your world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. So whether we doubt it or not, according to this verse, everyone is full of doubts, because ultimately no one knows where everything came from. We don't even know what light is. As I mentioned before, in 1920, someone got the Nobel Prize for declaring that light is a particle. And in 1930, someone got the Nobel Prize for declaring that light is a wave. And then later on, they declared that light was a wavicle. Sometimes it acts like a particle, and sometimes like a wave. Still, there's no settle. They still haven't figured out even what light is, what to speak of everything else. They don't know where everything came from. What to speak when we say they, we don't know where everything came from. We don't know where everything's going. We don't know where we're going. We hear some theory, and we can accept the most logical theory. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that our bodies are changing. So we know at every moment they're coming into being and then disappearing. And that we have experience of. So we can accept that as within our realm of experience. And at the same time, what we have the most direct experience of is ourselves. And we can perceive that we're not changing. Therefore, it's more logical to think that the soul is eternal and that will exist beyond this body, and to think that the soul is temporary and disappears along with the body. Because the body is always disappearing, and yet we're not disappearing. So we're beyond the body. So, still there's that doubt, am I this body, am I something else, or who am I? Even if we accept that we're not this body, we don't even know who we are. We're told we're Krishna Das, but we don't know Krishna. So we have so many doubts. So Krishna Bhagavad Gita says that Asam Shayatmana Yogo Duspratma. No. Ayas Trasudanas Cha Samshayatma Vinashiti Namnyo Lokasti Naparo Nasukam Samshayatmanaha. But faithless persons who doubt the revealed scripture, Agyas Chastradanas Cha. Though Agyas means out of ignorance, Agyas Chastradanas Cha Samshayatma Vinashiti. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. For the doubting, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So ignorant and faithless persons. So who are the ignorant and faithless persons? Everyone in this world, unless they're a pure devotee, a Mahabhagavat, is ignorant and to some degree faithless. The most ignorant people and the most faithless persons who know nothing about Krishna, nothing about the revealed scriptures. They don't even know the word Krishna, what it means. So they're considered to be the most faithless, full of the most doubts, because they don't have any doubts, because they have no knowledge to be doubtful about. And there are others who have knowledge about the scriptures. They can even quote from the scriptures, but they don't believe in them. They think that they're just fantasies. Even we ourselves, we may read them and think that these are exaggerations, that there's a mountain called Meru made out of gold and it's 120,000 miles high. We may think that this is just a product of imagination. Or that the head of our universe has four heads and rides around on a swan. Hansa. These can be easily dismissed by modern people as just phantasmagoria. So these are also, we read the scriptures, it's not that we're beyond doubt. Only if we hook up to the basic principles of scripture, namely that we're not this body. Now if we can't accept that, then we've lost practically all of the knowledge in scripture. There may be a little bit, if you act piously, you might be in the mode of goodness. If you're sama dhamma tapa socham shantir arjavam evacha jnana vijnanam astikyam brahma karma sabhavajam, that sama equanimity, dhamma, sense of mind control, tapa, austerity, socham, cleanliness, these are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. Now in modern education, there's not even that knowledge. There's no encouragement to be having equanimity. As a matter of fact, they want to agitate people's minds as much as possible. Their whole educational system is to train people to become less than animals. Agitate their minds as much as possible. And as time goes on, they want to reduce people even more and more, their consciousness. Cleanliness, there's no training, practically speaking. Now for cleanliness, what to speak of truthfulness? All our leaders are liars. And even if they're trying to tell the truth, because their basic principle is materialism and voidism and impersonalism, they're also lying. Their basic existence is a lie. Their basic understanding of existence is a lie. They believe that they're the world, as Krishna says, idam imam te, ya idam paramam gu. They believe so much is mind. So it's ya idam, ya imam. Idama yama yabladva imam prabse manoratam. Idama sti amapi me pravishati punaradhanam. So much is mine today, and I'll gain more in the future. So even these people who are trying to be honest, they're still in that same consciousness. So much is mine, and I'll gain more in the future. I'm so much money do I have, and I'll get more and more. He's my enemy, and I've killed him, and my other enemies will be also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I shall perform some sacrifice. I shall give some charity. And that way, one is bound by ignorance. So even when it's trying to be truthful, still this mentality is there anyhow. So scripture says about so many things that we have doubts about, and even the most important thing, just like we're eternal, and that there's a super soul, is mentioned in this verse. That without the super soul giving us knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness, we can't do anything. Now, we think we're doing so many things without Krishna's help, without his mercy. We're taking credit for so many things. Because we're not that conscious of Krishna. On the other hand, it's our duty to give Krishna credit, to understand Krishna through books such as the Bhagavad Gita. Upudras dhanamanta cha bharta bhokta maheshara paramatmati chapyuto dehesmin purusha para. That there is another person, Upadrasha, who's the overseer of Pramidya, Upudras dhanamanta cha bharta, who's the enjoyer, bhokta maheshara paramatmati chapyuto dehesmin purusha para. So it is our duty to acknowledge Krishna's existence. And we do that by accepting Krishna's instructions, whether they come from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and then Krishna will give us the intelligence within the heart, if we accept those instructions, how to understand them properly. If we don't even bother trying to accept the instructions in the Shastra coming from Guru and Sadhu who are repeating Shastra, then why will Krishna bother giving us the understanding of what they mean? First, we have to have some faith that these are actually coming from Krishna and that they're real and that they're describing reality and that they're giving us some direction what to do in order to realize that reality, especially through pure devotional service. Though we don't accept the super soul in the heart, we don't accept the scriptures, we don't accept guru, we don't accept sadhu, then we'll have to accept something else. Maya will give us so many things to accept. So those who are in the second class of doubting, who know so much about the scripture, but they doubt the scriptures. And therefore they don't actually do anything, or very much, in terms of following the scripture. Another higher class of doubters is that those who know the scripture and they perform the activities recommended in the scripture, but they don't believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that the goal of the scriptures is to serve Him. So they're also in the category of doubters, because they won't get the fruit of devotional service. Moga isha moga karmano moga jnanavi chetasaha rakshasim astrim jaiva prakriti mohinim shita. That those who think Krishna is just an ordinary person, who don't actually know who He is, how He's the controller of the atom and the universe, that their moga isha moga karmano, their attempts to perfection by work, moga jnana, and by development of knowledge, and by the yoga process, and every other process, will all be defeated. They'll get, as Krishna says, neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. But most people don't care about that. So what? I'm having a good time here anyhow. I have a bright future. You know, who cares about eternal peace and happiness and the supreme destination? So these are all doubts that Maya gives us. And even we have, so devotional service means to struggle against these doubts, and the only way we can struggle against these doubts, as Krishna says, tasma agina sambuddham vidyam riddham tasma agina samstatam riddham jnana chinatmanaha Chidvayanam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. These doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with a weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So we need this knowledge. We have to become convinced that I'm eternal. God is in everyone's heart, including mine. He can tell me what to do to make advancements toward eternity and towards an eternal relationship with Him, if that's what I want. Otherwise, He'll give us whatever else we want. Now, we may not be conscious of what we want, but every moment we're desiring. These desires are not exactly our desires. They're arising out of our past activities. So since we've taken this material body, along with the material body, or even before we took the body, we took our subtle body from our last lifetimes. And that subtle body is programmed to manifest different desires. And as soon as we forget about, well, they're always arising, as long as they're not completely purified. And as soon as we forget what Krishna wants us to do, as soon as we're not conscious of what Krishna wants us to do, then automatically we'll have to dovetail our desires with one of these desires that are arising from our past activities. That's called being in Maya. There's good Maya in the mode of goodness. There's not so good Maya in the mode of passion. And there's not really bad Maya in the mode of ignorance, but it's all Maya. Therefore we think, well, I'm in good Maya, so it's not so bad. No one can complain. Everyone's praising me for how good Maya I'm in. But Krishna will, through the process, if we are sincere, Krishna will make sure in the course of time that we understand that good Maya is not so good. And bad Maya is not anything so much different from so-called good Maya and in-between Maya. It's all the same illusion, taking one birth after another. So we have to understand that Krishna is our friend, and he's our guide, and he's trying to help us, if we want the help. And the whole process of hearing is to realize that what our dependent position is. We can't hear too often that I'm only 1/10,000th the size of Tibera in size. Otherwise, we become deluded by thinking ourselves to be something we're not. Something which is what we in our minds may be powerful and opulent and independent and thoughtful, whatever. We may think ourselves to have so many qualities independently of Krishna, but Krishna is there in the heart, if we want, to remind us of who we actually are. And Krishna from without is reminding us what we should actually be doing. And if we don't take it up, then Maya is there to remind us also of how miserable things can get. The problem is that even in hell, people get used to being in hell. They try to figure out how to be happy there too. So, above Krishna, the guide, Krishna is guiding us as a super soul, there's a goal, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we miss the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we've lost everything. The whole, as Krishna says, Yomam evam asambuddho janati purushottama sasarvavit pujante imam sarabhavena bharata. This is the most confidential of all the Vedic knowledge that anyone who becomes wise, anyone becomes... Yomam evam asambuddho. Anyone knows me as the Supreme Personality of God, who without doubting is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yukva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat krita kritasvibharata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic knowledge, that anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So this hearing about Krishna is not something ordinary. Eventually when we hear it, something may stick in our mind and we'll become more Krishna conscious. To hear, absorb, assimilate, and then see through the scriptures, see what Krishna is saying in this world around us, so we can apply it practically within our lives, especially in our relationships with devotees and with others, so that Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself to us, give us the intelligence by which we can come to him, and as he sees that we're actually seriously taking that intelligence and utilizing it in a practical way, through devotional service, then Krishna says, Bhakti Mam Abhijananti Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvahataha. That we're not only accepting the knowledge theoretically, understanding it theoretically, but we're willing to put it into practice, then Krishna reveals himself. And then we can enter into the mysteries of his understanding. Therefore, in the beginning of the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Maya Sakta Manak Partha Yogam Yunjan Manashaya Asam shayam samagramam yatagyasasi tatshne. Hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So if we want to wake up, if we want to get out of these doubts, we actually want to get some realized knowledge and realized experience, then we have to follow that simple formula Krishna has given us. Attach the mind to Krishna, even if we attach a little bit, we'll notice the difference, especially if it's long enough. We start thinking about Krishna or engage in Krishna's service. Long enough, we can see the difference between being in Maya and being in Krishna consciousness. Then, Maya Sakta Manak Parata, Yogam Yunjan, and the process is devotional service. Yogam Yunjan. Mayashraya, taking shelter of Krishna. Not only doing service, but feeling some dependency upon Krishna. Understanding that everything here is Krishna's energy, and that we're simply offering Krishna's energy as a service to him for his mission. Just like to worship the sun, they take a candle and they offer, the worshiper of the sun offers a candle to the sun. The sun has all the fire in the universe, but still, out of respect to the sun, there's some light offered to the sun in the form of a candle. So Krishna has everything, it's all his energy. There's nothing we can offer him, But he accepts our desire to please him. That's our only offering. So that's called the process of devotional service, to realize our dependency upon Krishna, how he's everything here belongs to him, and to accept his instructions through Guru Sadhana and Shastra, and become conscious of how the Super Soul is guiding us to understand Guru Sadhana and Shastra. Asamjam sam yata gyasasi maya satamanat parta yogam yunjan manashaya asamshayam. Then gradually as things are revealed to us, then our doubts will go away and then we'll become peaceful. As long as we're thinking we're this body, we're worried about the future, no one can be peaceful. And Krishna says, one who's not peaceful, how can he be happy? So if the goal of life is to become happy, we're not going to be happy, we could become happy by any other arrangement other than organizing our lives in such a way as that we actually do everything for Krishna, and therefore we spontaneously, naturally think about Krishna and receive Krishna's blessings as his directions as the Super Soul. And eventually, when Krishna is actually pleased with us, he reveals himself in his forms of Bhagavan. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? We have a microphone.
Our crew is...
No, it's better to get the microphone. Our crew's on vacation. They went on pilgrimage, actually.
Yes, I have one question regarding when you meet people on the street, you often hear like, yeah, my life is good, everything is going smoothly. So sometimes they're still willing to give a donation, but they rarely would be interested in taking a book because they believe my life is good.
Yeah.
So what could one say to such
a
person?
Don't disagree with them. For them, their life is good. Tell them that, yes, we appreciate that, and this will make your life even better. And maybe you can help other people make their life better too. This will simply help you make their life better. We don't tell people that your life isn't good. We say it's fantastic. But this is even better than fantastic. We can see you have knowledge, but this is the most confidential knowledge of how to become happy. So generally we don't give this out to any ordinary people, but since you're special, especially happy, we're giving you a book to make you even more specially happy. It's the only thing people will accept is a compliment. They didn't go out in the street looking for someone to criticize them. They have enough of that at home. Anything else?
Set of questions.
Okay. We take it one at a time.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Avadhuta Rai Prabhu is asking, some say this material creation is a lila, but how it can be if there is so many sufferings? What do you think?
They say it's what?
Lila.
Lila. Yes, it's Krishna's lila to torture the living entities. Prabhu gives the example in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that a father sees that he has a very disruptive son, rebellious son, so he gives him over to a disciplinarian to correct him. So Krishna has given us over to the disciplinarian of Maya, who is manifesting so many problems for ourselves, so many unpleasant situations for ourselves, so that we can wake up and realize this is not a good place to look for happiness. That's the whole point of the material nature, is to give us the insight that this is not our normal home.
Thank you. Next question. I read, not even Lakshmi had the same good fortune as Kalia, to receive the direct touch of Krishna's lotus feet. Is this only a glorification? How to understand that a demon had a greater fortune than Lakshmi?
No, Kali didn't have any greater fortune than Lakshmi. But in order to exemplify and glorify Kali's fortune, you have to compare it to something. So they compare it to Lakshmi Devi. But Lakshmi Devi is always massaging Krishna's lotus feet. So she also has opportunities to associate with Krishna's lotus feet. But some comparison is there because she's massaging the feet, but Krishna doesn't put his lotus foot on her head, but he put his lotus feet on Kali's head. In a very, you know, under those circumstances, obviously Lakshmi is a expansion of Srimati Radharani. No one has greater fortune than her in one sense. But just as a comparison, we give some credit to Kaliya, so that we can see that it's not an ordinary mercy he got. He got some extraordinary mercy.
Thank you. And the last question. There's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 7th Chapter, verse 23. Worshipping Shukracharya with devotion, being devotees to Guru, the demons may take away my abode also. Question: how devotion to demoniac guru by demons can give positive results?
I don't understand. Who is that? Take away whose abode?
I think this is the blessing because the demons were worshipping their guru.
So Vishnu is talking, or?
I'm not sure who is talking. But.
What's that? No. So they're saying that because Shukracharya, because Bali Maharaj has worshipped his guru, Shukracharya, therefore he's gotten so powerful that he was able to defeat the demigods. As I believe it's Brahma talking, and he's saying that if, you know, they become so powerful because of their worshiping the Guru, they may even be able to take away my abode. Yeah, so Brahma's emphasizing you should worship your Guru. Yeah. He goes, well, or else you may be out in the streets somewhere. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandeur Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.